In April 15, 1965, many of us were not even born yet, Jackie DeShannon wrote this song, and she was very popular by the song that said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone." She came up with that idea in 1965. The world needed love back in 1965. Look at 2017 today. We still need love. There's a lot of people around us that they need to experience the love of Jesus. They need to know what love is all about. I mean, there's some truth to that song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. But the problem we have in our world is that we don't even know what love is. And that's why a lot of people sing songs like, "I want to know what love is. Somebody please tell him." Yeah. You know, it's like so many songs, so many love songs, and we still don't understand what love is all about. And you know, when you go through the scriptures, Jesus told us that the greatest two commandments are loving God and loving other people. Love. I just think that in our world today, if we just lived out those two commandments, loving God and loving people, the world will be a better place. If we truly lived out that, you know, it comes from us that we truly, truly love God and we love our neighbors, we love people, our world will be a better place. You would not even have to lock your car doors and your house door if we just did those two commandments. So she's right. The world needs love, but you know, it's going to be up to you and I to be able to explain to the world what love is all about. Jesus once said that the whole law, you see the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the whole law and the prophecies that we have, and DJ just read one of those prophecies, so many prophecies in the Bible. Jesus said it this way, that all that you read in the Old Testament is summed up in two commandments, loving God and loving people. I mean, imagine that. Like the whole, I mean, if you just did that, by loving God and loving people, you are fulfilling the law of God and all the prophecies. Now, there was on one occasion, one expert of the law wanted to test Jesus, and he came to Jesus. You know, there was a time that the religious leaders really tried to trap Jesus in his own words. They didn't lie Jesus. And so there was a religious expert, according to the Gospel of Luke, that he wanted to test Jesus with a question. And he asked Jesus, and if you got your Bibles in Luke chapter 10, we talk about these two commandments that the Lord gave us. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through following. The NIV says it this way. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Interesting. He asked Jesus, trying to test him. And many times, you know how it is when you are, if you are a teacher, sometimes you have people, they ask you questions. You have students, they ask you questions because legitimately they want to know the answer. Sometimes they ask you a question. I've had that at times. People will ask you a question to really see if you know what you're talking about. So this is the case for Jesus. The expert in the law, he knew what he needed to do to inherit, to obtain eternal life. But nonetheless, he comes to Jesus and the writer, Luke, tells us that he was to test him. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus replied to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered because he knew what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. So he says, verse 26, "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" And then he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's what's written in the law. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. Jewish people call that the Shema. It says, "Hear Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." Every Jewish individual will know that. So when he asking Jesus, just to see what Jesus would say, he said, "How do you read? What is written in the law?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind." Then Jesus, you have answered correctly, Jesus said, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? So he wanted to look righteous in the eyes of Jesus, and he wasn't done with the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know that it says, love the Lord your God and love people. But who's my neighbor? He asked the Lord. And then from here on, Jesus is going to tell this man a story, a parable, to illustrate to this man, to this lawyer of the law, who your neighbor is. And then Jesus goes on and he says, Jesus replies, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Some translation would say, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave him to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? So, this expert in the law, now picture, this must be a Pharisee. He knew exactly what the law said. He just wanted to test Jesus, and they get into this question. He asks, who is my neighbor? Jesus tells the story. A man was going down from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he fell into the hands of robbers. They beat him up. They almost left him dead. And then two individuals go by, and it's interesting because we got to pay attention to what Jesus is saying, because the Levite and the priest, according to the law, if anything happened to you, they'd be responsible to take care of you. The Levites were the ministering tribe that the Lord Yahweh selected. They were in charge of all the ministry. I mean, when he came to the temple, they would do the service. So these two individuals, they're a servant of God. And how is it that you see a man on the road and, I mean, he's barely breathing and you do nothing? It's almost like they would say, well, I'm too late for church. I'm sorry. And they went the other way. It's interesting. Jesus talking to an expert in the law, he knew exactly. You know, even in the Old Testament, if you have any disease, for some of you who are nurses around here, the priest would act like a doctor in those days. That's why, you know, you had leprosy, the law would say, go to the priest so that he will examine you to find out you can be back into the community. So there was somebody here that, according to the story, Jesus is telling this expert of the law, you know, the man is barely breathing, and he says that the Levite and the priest went around. They went the other way. Interesting, because he said they saw the man, but they went around. They chose to do nothing. Remember, all this context is, Jesus is going to answer the question to this expert in the law, who is my neighbor? The priests and Levites represented God's servants, those appointed to help people. But they didn't do anything. And then Jesus goes on, the third person said, but a Samaritan. Now, you and I need to pause for a while. Jesus is using a Samaritan when he's talking to a Jewish audience. Remember, John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman, and she said to Jesus, how is it that you are a Jew, you talking to me, that I'm a Samaritan woman? And then John, in parentheses, he says, Samaritans and Jews do not get along. And that goes way back around the exile time. There was enmity. There was animosity between Jews and Samaritans. So if you were a speaker, if you were going to talk to a Jewish audience, never make the Samaritans the hero, because they would not like that. So Jesus purposefully, every time he talked to the Jewish audience, he would bring a Samaritan. Now, you see, the Levites, they're Jews, and the priests were Jews, but a Samaritan, as he was going by, saw the man, and he had compassion on him, a foreigner. A Samaritan will be equivalent 50 years ago. I mean, today we're talking about racial problem, like a black person and a white person. And, you know, that war that existed. It's almost like somebody from the Middle East and Americans. You know, it's like this enmity right there. But a Samaritan, as he was going by, something happened to him, and he saw the man, and he had pity on him. Now, that word you and I need to familiarize ourselves with, because the whole idea of compassion, it says that the word is translated that it moves from within. You know, like sometimes we say, like, you got a butterfly in your tummy? Compassion is that word that comes from something inside you moves when you see something happening. Maybe you see a lot of injustice out there, and something inside you, you say, you know what, I cannot tolerate that. I got to do something about it. That's what happened to the Samaritan. Verse 33, where a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, the two, the Levi and the priest, they saw him, but nothing moved within themselves. But the Samaritan, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, and pouring on oil and wine, and then he put him on his beast, on the donkey, and took him to an inn, and said, hey, take care of this man, and if he owes you anything else, I will pay you back when I come. He did something because something inside of him moved, and that's what we call the word compassion. Now, the question is, does something inside you move when you see what's going on in the world today? Because if it doesn't, then you don't have compassion for what's going on. Does something inside you move, or, you know, something causes you to do something when you see the injustice, when you see this racial war that's going on, and the animosity between people, does that cause you to do anything? Because when I look at Jesus, Matthew tells us that when he saw the crowds, the Bible says, he had compassion on them because they looked helpless and perplexed like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus himself modeled compassion. Like, why do you think he helped so many people? Because something within Jesus moves, like they need help, and he would do it. He did so many miracles because he saw people, they were just helpless, harassed and perplexed, like sheep without a shepherd. They needed somebody to help him. So that's what the Samaritan here did for that man who got beat up by the robbers. The Samaritan stopped because he was moved within. And compassion will cause you to do that when you see what's going on around. The Samaritan was moved by compassion and he stopped to help the man, but the priests and Levites, they did not. Now, he took him to the inn and said, hey, take care of this man and pay whatever he owes you, I'll pay you back. And then Jesus now brings the question back to the religious leaders. Okay, who of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man? And the guy said, well, the one who had compassion on him. Notice that he doesn't even say the Samaritans. Jesus used the Samaritans. He said, there was a Samaritan, a Levi, a priest, and a Samaritan. Why didn't he say, well, the Samaritans? Because they just didn't want to say that word, especially this Jewish expert. He said, Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved himself to be a neighbor to the man who got beat up? And he said, the one who had compassion on him. And then Jesus said, but then go do likewise. Go be like them. See, the Bible tells us that we show God that we love him by loving other people. Loving God and loving people. I mean, everything started with this whole idea. What's written in the law? Love God with all love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You want to know who your neighbor is? And then Jesus tells a story to this man. Loving God, the Bible says that we show God that we love him by loving other people. The Bible says God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were sinful individuals, separated from him, he still died for us. Now, how do we show God that we love him? Jesus said by keeping his commandments and also by loving other people. Even Jesus told the apostles, love each other the way as I have loved you. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, God's people are reminded in Scripture to put love to practice. Don't just talk about love. Do it. Do something about it. He said, dear children, let us not love with words and tongue, but with action and in truth. Love your neighbor as yourself. It says you love God with every, I mean, you see, when you look at the heart, and soul, and strength, and might, what the Bible is really telling us, we are to love God with everything that we are. With our whole being, we are to love God. And then loving our neighbors the way that I would love myself. But you know, that's like, man, that can be hard. If I'm going to love people, neighbors, that, you know, and when the Bible's talking about neighbor, it's not talking about the one you live next door to. It can be anybody. Because it was just in the road that this incident took place. So loving people the way you want people to love you, the way you love yourself. So dear children, let us not just love with words, saying that you love Him. Show Him. God show His love, but how do we show our love for one another? When we show compassion on people, when we do something, when we see somebody in need, we're showing love. Who is your neighbor? Anybody in need of compassion. Anyone who needs to experience God's love. Anyone who might be feeling helpless, that can be your neighbor, and maybe you have a chance to help that individual, that person, and you just do it. Don't be like the Levite and the priest. They were supposed to represent God, and they did a bad job representing God when they should have. But as this foreigner, a Samaritan, somebody from a different race stopped and helped. So who is my neighbor? My neighbor can be somebody that holds different political views than me. A neighbor might be somebody who might be struggling with sexual identity in this country. A neighbor might be somebody who's from a different race, socioeconomic background. That can be my neighbor, but they also need God's love and compassion. And God will use you and I to be Samaritans for them. So your neighbor really can be anybody in need of compassion, the Lord. The Lord, Jesus saw the crowds and He was moved within because He looked at them. They were harassed and perplexed like sheep without a shepherd. You look at our society today and what Jackie talked about, this world needs love. Not just for some people, but for everyone. She's right. She was right. And you look at our society today, they need that. They need to experience that. But it's going to take people like you and I, the church, to really put that into practice and realize, you know what? I'm going to be a Samaritan to whoever comes my way, to whoever I find that needs my help. I'm going to lend them a hand. Jesus told the religious leader, go do likewise. You know who the neighbor is. Be a neighbor to somebody. Your neighbor can be anybody. There are neighbors all around us. Where you work, you might be a Samaritan to somebody. Where you go to school. In fact, when you're riding the train or you go on a plane, there might be somebody there that needs a Samaritan to step up and just help somebody. Lend them a hand. I love that song, Casting Crowns. It says, like, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus is no longer walking around like He did 2,000 years ago, but you and I are here to represent. And Paul uses the analogy that I love. He says, you are Christ's ambassador, as if God is making an appeal to the world through you and I. So the neighbor is going to come. A lot of people, you're going to come around, and you will have the choice to either be like the Levite or the priest, or you say, you know what? There's a situation here, and I know that I can help. Let me do something. See, the Samaritan didn't have to go. I mean, he realized, this man needs my help, and I can do something about it, and he did. And when Jesus said, who do you think was a neighbor to that man who got beat up? The one who showed compassion. So you become a Samaritan when you show somebody the love of Jesus, when you show somebody compassion, when you help somebody who needed help. We all perhaps have been on the other side of the coin. We have been the man beat up. We have been the one that needed money to pay a bill. Maybe the car broke down. You didn't have somebody to repair it. But somebody came around and acted like a Samaritan and fixed my car or did something for me when I did not even expect it. He or she was doing what Jesus told them what we are to do. Go and do likewise. Well, now that I've been the beneficiary of that gift or that kindness or that compassion, let me go ahead and do that to somebody else that might not be that fortunate. So go and do likewise. Neighbors will always be around us. They all need to experience God's love, compassion, His grace. And God will use you and I to be the Samaritan to them. You see, we may learn a lot about what it means to love God and to love people. You might hear me preach about that. We have it on the website. You hear a lot of preachers talking about loving God and loving people. But until we live those things out, it means nothing. You can hear a lot about loving God and loving people, but until you live it out, that doesn't mean anything. Somebody says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care for them. They're not going to listen to you until they really, truly, legitimately believe that you care for them and that you want to help them, no strings attached. You want to help them because that's the right thing to do, to be a Samaritan to them. So who is my neighbor? We already discovered who is your neighbor. Anybody in need of God's compassion. And it's going to be up to you to be a Samaritan to them. I just want to leave you with a word that Jesus told the expert in the law. When you step out of here today, you might find a lot of people in need of Jesus out there. Jesus said, go and do likewise.